It's time. Your new deck is ready. The new sleeves feel so smooth when you shuffle the deck. You turn over your commander and everyone gasps as you proceed to wow them with the insane interactions you've found. Actually, this death trigger uses last known information, so it's going to see its power and toughness from on the battlefield, you tell your opponents. Interaction after interaction piles up, fueled by your clever deck building. And then you lose. And you lose. And you lose. Your deck isn't working, and it's time to go back to the drawing board. Hello and welcome to another episode of Gemstone Mine. I'm John, and today we have another lesson from CEDH. CEDH is a metagame within the Commander format that sits at one extreme with highly consistent, highly efficient decks. Not all cards are equally powerful in all formats, or even in all metagames, but there are lessons to be learned from how people are using some of the most powerful cards available. And even in CEDH, a format defined by its reliance on staples to form the outline of the vast majority of deck lists, constant iteration on a deck list is a key part of the process. No plan survives first contact with the enemy, and no deck list survives its first contact with opponents. Our goal today is to learn how to make those first few revisions to a deck, and if you listened to last week's episode on learning from defeat, you may have some ideas on what to expect this time around. We've also talked about this a little bit before in our episode on giving deck building advice, but in this episode, we will focus on how to improve a deck which we are already familiar with. If you want to upgrade a deck, the first step is to identify what's already working with the deck. Was there a particular engine in your value deck that was doing good work? Did your focus deck manage to get rolling early enough to be a threat at the table? What cards in particular stuck out as the important part of your game plan which you were able to hit? Last week, I talked about my experience with a Kolfinar The Last U deck. I built that deck around the idea of having small creatures who would grow with +1/+1 counters, which would then lead to them being bigger on the battlefield than they would be in the graveyard. And that absolutely went right with the deck during its games. Once Kolfinar The Last U landed, I almost always was able to scoop cards out of my graveyard and keep the engine going. I always had creatures to cast with my mana, and even dorky creatures were often getting pretty big. Once you know what went right, ask yourself if this is what you want to do with the deck. Sometimes, this is where a deck gets the axe. It's good at doing something that you're not particularly interested in doing in the game of Commander. Other times, it means you need to go through a more thorough overhaul of the deck than a simple tune-up. Our next step is to ask what went wrong. If you haven't listened to last week's episode on Learning from Defeat, now's a good time to do so. Try to see if there are any key plays or cards that you lacked the ability to interact with. Were there any cards which didn't work the way you wanted them to? Did cards get stuck in your hand or were just underperforming after you cast them? What was wrong? Was the setup cost too high? Were they more situational than you expected? We'll get to this in a little bit. But it's also a good idea to develop a general sense from playing the game. Make a habit of asking yourself during downtime at the table, on someone else's turn, what would I do if my opponent casts a big threatening creature right now? What if they slam down a big value enchantment like Smothering Tithe, or an artifact like God Pharaoh's Statue that's going to set me back? Does your deck feel like it's taking too long to close out games? Does it feel like it's difficult to find the cards you need to close out games? Getting back to the deck I'm tweaking now, I already mentioned that in Kolfinar's last game, its engine was going very well. I've already added a few reusable forms of ramp to the deck to try to get the 6 mana needed to cast Kolfinar more consistently. But I've now had several games where I feel like I've never had a piece of interaction when I need it. They say that the art of editing is the art of killing your darlings, and in this case, I'm going to cut a small number of those cute synergy cards with my +1/+1 counter subtheme to make room for additional pieces of interaction. I really don't want to swap out interaction for other interaction here. I want to up my count of available interaction, as I was often finding situations where I had nothing in hand that I could do to stop my opponents. As such, I'm looking to include cards like Cathar Commando, Kasali Pride Mage, and Krall Harpooner. The first two are going to be 2 mana value creatures who can be sacked for a single generic mana to destroy an artifact or an enchantment. And sacking on demand in Kolfinar will play well into the deck's strategy to keep my hands stocked with creatures at all times. I should probably read Krall Harpooner since this one seems a lot less play. It is 1 and a green for a 3/2 insect warrior creature with reach. It also has Undergrowth. When Krall Harpooner enters the battlefield, choose up to 1 target creature with flying you don't control. Krall Harpooner gets +X/+0 until the end of turn, where X is the number of creature cards in your graveyard, Then you may have Crawl Harpooner fight that creature. It's a nice form of removal as a way to get rid of potentially problematic flyers, which I usually have trouble with in this deck. I don't really care if Crawl Harpooner dies, that means it's just going back to my graveyard where I can get it back out and reuse it again in the future anyway. And while I plan to get a lot of cards back out of my graveyard to try to keep the value train rolling, so my hand will often be quite full, I do still want some way to get some additional card draw to dig deeper into my deck. And Elvish Visionary is a good choice with this. For 2 mana, I get a 1/1 elf creature who will cantrip on ETB. The next question to ask is whether your deck just needs tweaking or does it need full-on optimizing. It's a good idea to ask yourself if you feel like your deck is appropriate for the power levels that your group plays at. Sometimes, your first draft of a deck is just too weak. A few too many cute combos and interactions, not enough ways to actually deal with and answer your opponent's threats. You might have too slow of a ramp suite to keep up with the critical turn that your playgroup is presenting. At the same time, you can also occasionally come up with a deck that is just blowing your opponents away. In that case, try to look to identify cards that they are having trouble handling, and cut those in favor of maybe a few more cute cards in this case. Remember, you can have your critical turn built after your opponent's critical turns, so long as you have adequate defensive speed to answer your opponent's threats. We did an episode on defensive speed if you want to learn more about that. My Kolfener deck did not have enough defensive speed to be effective initially, particularly when Korvald was going ham. Sure, I had that great suite of Orzhov and Golgari interaction that you get access to when you're in Abzan, but I just could not get access to it when I needed it. This was my reasoning for wanting to include cards like Cathar Commando, Kwesali Pride Mage, and Crawl Harpooner. Now I have multiple 2-drop creatures which I can rely on to act as efficient answers to threats my opponents are developing, and which play into my primary game plan of recurring my creatures out of the graveyard for value. I don't think the deck necessarily needs a bunch of 0-mana rocks to get its game plan going faster. Having a greater defensive speed will still help the deck punch above its weight class without necessarily overwhelming other decks at the table. Kolfener is a deck that needs tweaking, not optimizing. I like the speed that it's at, so I want to tweak it within that critical turn of 5 to 6, where I can land Kolfener and start grinding value off of my commander. I also considered Fleshbag Marauder, Merciless Executioner, Plague Crafter, and the similar enter the battlefield edict creatures. Ultimately, I decided against them, as there are several newer players in the group who play on Voltron strategies, and I think the temptation to just take them off their commander permanently is a little bit too strong. In addition, some of the stronger decks at our group are going to include decks that have lots of tokens, like that Korvald Landfall deck I discussed last week where it leaned heavily on Field of the Dead. And in those matchups, it's just not good enough when the Korvald player can just keep sacrificing zombie tokens, and I will never remove an important creature using the edict effects. The hard part remains making those cuts. There are some cards which seem so cool when you read them, which just have so much synergy when you get them going, but at the end of the day, they just don't pull their weight. These are the cards you look to cut when it's time to do so. We touched on this a few minutes ago, looking at cards which didn't live up to your expectations. Some reasons why a synergy piece may not live up to your expectations in a deck are that the setup cost is too high. You need to have multiple pieces already in play to gain value that you want off the card. Or the window in which you can use the card is just too small. Too narrow. The card only shines in very niche situations, and it will often linger in your hand. Finally, the casting cost may just be too prohibitive. The card might be too hard to actually get into play. Whether the mana cost is too expensive, whether there are too many colored mana symbols in the card's cost to actually cast, or whether there is some kind of additional setup cost needed to even make it work. These are the cards which should go onto the chopping block when it's time to start tweaking a deck. I identified my first 3 cuts in the deck as Swarm Shambler, Orin Reef Ooze, and Experiment 1. All cool cards with a niche synergy alongside my +1/+1 counters sub-theme. But they didn't pay off very often, and they often took a lot of resources in order to get going. These were ultimately cut for the interactive cards I mentioned before. Cathar Commando, Kwesali Pride Mage, and Crawl Harpooner. I also looked at cards like Saheeli, Voice of Plenty. A darn cool card which can make a lot of +1/+1 counters while also shielding my board with Hexproof. But ultimately, I wanted more card velocity, and the Elvish Visionary I mentioned above is just what the deck needs to work. Saheeli is cool, extra protection, but it's not going to keep me moving forward the way an Elvis visionary or a similar cantrip creature could. Finally, Slurk All Ingesting is a 6 mana value +1/+1 counter payoff. But by the time I'm at 6 mana with this deck, I really want to be casting Kolfinir and not Slurk. Slurk was in a very early draft of the deck and was one of my first early cuts to squeeze in more ramp. I mentioned before that I added some reusable ramp in the form of Wood Elves and Farhaven Elf, which can get a land into play off of their ETB. Slurk came out to make room for Wood Elves, a great way to make it easier to get Kolfinir out a turn earlier, and a way to grind extra value out later if I'm going wide. Another thing that's very helpful while you're tuning up your deck is to keep a wish list. Moxfield has a considering section on the decklist, and both Architect and Moxfield have a sideboard option because, remember, these deck building websites are supposed to be usable for people playing in 60 and 4 formats, where sideboards are a thing. In Commander, we don't get to use our sideboard very much, but these are great places to keep a wish list of cards to look at if you want to try them in a future game. If you want to take a look at my Kolfinir decklist, I have Skullclamp in the short list of cards I'm considering. It's not in at the moment because it's a bit of a non-bow with the +1/+1 counter theme, and I don't want to have to dedicate a lot of slots to being able to tutor it up. But if I decide I want to tweak the deck further, I can look over my considering list to see which cards are the ones that might fit the needs I have for the deck. Another good thing to do is to keep track of the cards which underperform, your darlings which are likely to be cut in the future. If the previous section was about keeping a wish list, this is kind of like keeping a naughty list. Architect makes this really easy, as you're able to change the color of a card's tag so easily that you can just look across the board at a glance and see exactly which cards you're considering cutting from your deck list with a glance at the screen. When you just have to consider 3 to 4 potential cards when looking for something to pull out, it's much easier than having to read 99 cards all over again and pick one. If you know that you want to add in more answers, for example, you're probably not going to pick a creature removal to pull out of the deck, but you might decide that it's okay to pull out another synergy piece or ramp piece if you feel like both of those packages are already quite adequate. My Kolfinir deck, just as with most of the decks in our format, is a constant work in progress. I don't think it'll ever be done. And I'll let its performance in games tell me what wants to change and what needs to change. How about you? What methods do you use for tweaking your decks after Commander Night? What cuts have you agonized over? Which of your darling synergy pieces have you had to de-sleeve, and which ones really broke your heart when you did? Let us know. Leave us a comment on YouTube, where we are Gemstone Mine Podcast. Add us on Twitter, where we are at GemstoneMineMTG, or send us an email, where we are GemstoneMinePodcast@gmail.com. Until next time, I'm John, and this is Gemstone Mine.